Welcome to the fifth and final installment in the series Mind Matters, a series looking at mental health. Today's episode focuses on some of the positive and alternative ways that you can maintain a healthy mind. In this episode, we hear from the Limerick Institute of Technology student counsellor Noreen Keane about her thoughts on how to maintain a positive mental health. Dietitian Yvonne Chambers provides some insight into the role a healthy diet can play in sustaining a healthy mind, while yoga instructor Sarah Stockman discusses the benefits of yoga in relieving stress and providing relaxation. Finally, we hear from life coach Maureen Melvin on the role that personal development can play in fostering a positive self-image.
I'm Noreen Keane and I run the student counselling service within LIT. It entails providing counselling and therapeutic support, one-to-one counselling, group counselling. We would respond to crises as appropriate, so we might provide support to students of class groups bereaved. We'd also act as a referral source both within student services, because we're part of a student support team, and we'd also play a role, I suppose, in prevention and education. So we run events like mental health days, and we'd run various activities and get involved in various health promotion and awareness of mental health issues, like World Suicide Prevention Day. We'd always kind of do something big on that day. So there are some of the things we do. I think students are much more inclined to come. I mean, in fact, we nearly always have a waiting list. That's a bit of a resource issue. So we don't ever have any problem getting students to come, I suppose. I'm always concerned about the cohort of students that don't come, and that's why we try and run awareness events and mental health days and that, because, well, obviously you mightn't be seeing the whole student population. That is one way of reaching the whole population. So I think there's a general increase in awareness of issues, I suppose, with the media and with research, etc. Students are becoming more aware of their mental health. The biggest thing is to talk to somebody, talk about your issues, talk about your problems. Not necessarily counselling, not everybody needs to come for counselling or therapy, but just to be able to share your worries and concerns. One of the biggest issues really around mental health is when people keep their issues locked inside, and particularly young men find it more difficult to talk about their emotions, you know, and that has been proved time and time again with research. So that's one of the biggest things. Just sometimes talking to a friend or a trusted person can really help. Also looking after your physical health, regular exercise, you know, a healthy diet, sleeping and eating well, watching alcohol intake, drug intake, etc. I suppose knowing how to have a laugh, you know, having fun, you know, that life is hard, but it doesn't always have to be serious. And always knowing that there is somebody out there that can help. You know, if you don't feel able to talk to someone, you know, there's a number of different helplines, supports, even, you know, on the internet, there's numerous different sites that will give support for various different issues or problems or concerns. There's huge stigma, I suppose, around mental health and what you define as mental health. I suppose we look at kind of mental wellness, really. And certainly, I mean, our philosophy here within the Student Counselling Service will be very much we deal with the whole person, not the diagnosis or the illness or the label. If you're told you have depression, we're looking at a person with depression. It's not just about the depression. And we look at people's abilities or what's well in them, what's positive, and what can we work with, what can we build on. And most mental health issues can be very easily controlled and supported. Many don't require long-term medical care, some do. Where there is a concern around mental health, we would always liaise closely with the health unit, with, say, the GPs on site and the nursing team, and also would refer out as well to psychiatry and that as appropriate. And we'd link in with a lot of day hospitals too. Because of the changing cohort of students and widening participation, I suppose we're having more and more students, you know, mature students, other students with difficulties already. So many students are now coming and they might already have the diagnosis of the label, or they might be linked in with supports. So we might kind of just try and support them while they're here and they get their other supports elsewhere. What is concerning, I suppose, is that generally the mental health among students is not as good as the mental health of the general population. It's generally worse. So I would really encourage, particularly fourth year students and final year students, to maybe use the services more, use them early as well, and also to just, you know, check in with us and talk to somebody if there's an issue or problem, talk to their departments. The staff here are generally really, really good and very supportive if they know there's an issue or difficulty, and they will do whatever they can, as much as is possible, to try and support the student through. So just come and talk to us and we'll see what we can do.
Yoga is an ancient healing system of exercises and breathing techniques designed to promote control of the body and mind. Its origins can be traced as far back as 3000 BC. Now, in 2010, yoga has become a global movement. It is widely regarded by psychologists as a prime method for the reduction of stress and for the relief of the often debilitating symptoms associated with depression and anxiety. We will now hear from yoga instructor Sarah Stockman on the benefits of practicing yoga.
At the beginning of any yoga class, we always start by explaining to the students that there are five main areas. And essentially this would cover proper exercise or asanas, which are the postures, proper breathing of pranayama, the way to control the energy, proper relaxation or savasana, and proper diet, just be mindful of where your food comes from. Positive thinking and meditation would be the fifth area. And essentially that's a very holistic lifestyle if you can manage to think of those five things in your everyday life. Postures are what people mainly think about if they just think of yoga, but in order to perform the postures, you really need to know the proper breathing techniques. And a good yoga teacher really would focus a lot on breath, and essentially it's the exhalation that's the magic. And to be able to exhale and control your exhalation means that you have more control over your emotions, your nervous system and things like that. So you would already be not just helping yourself move into different postures, but you would be calming your nervous system and thereby your mental system, your mental health. You would benefit by stilling your mind. And moving on to that stilling of your mind, that's really where meditation is really important. When we talk about meditation in the Western world, we're really talking about the stilling of the mind to alleviate stress and anxiety. If you're able to bring your mind to focus on something that you can associate your inhalation and exhalation to. So it might be, say, the petals of a flower opening and closing, or it might be the sea coming in onto the shore and then going out. Then it would subtly, very subtly slow you down. And it is difficult at first to bring your mind in that way, but the asanas and the breathing all really help. It's a very rounded way of life, a yoga lifestyle. And I say lifestyle because, especially with the positive thinking and things, it does come into your everyday life. And incredibly, that does essentially play on you in terms of mental health. If you think positive thoughts, positive things will happen. Of course, if people have got acute mental illness issues, this is something that is so complementary to other therapies and other things that you would need. But you would, of course, need to be taking your proper medication and attending your psychological counselling. The idea is that when you start doing something, whether it's a posture or whatever, breathing or whatever, your mind starts to remember it. And whenever you go back to do it, it will remember where you got up to. So to have an area or a space that's even more beneficial, to have somewhere that you can go to, as soon as you get into that space, it will bring your awareness straight to that place and you'll be able to go into your yoga practice. However, it is also something that you can take anywhere. You just need a space as big as your body and to be able to stretch your arms and legs. One of the techniques that I would teach people if we're doing breathing or a relaxation in a class and there's noise going on outside, I would instruct people to be thinking of the sound Om, which isn't just a sound, it's a vibration and it's an all-encompassing sound that unifies us with the universe. If you think of this sound Om in your mind as you're breathing in and as you're breathing out and just let it be as though it's controlled by a volume switch, you could turn it up in your head and you can drown out all other sounds. I think that positive outlook on life is so important, and really it is so hard to maintain it, but to try to keep coming back to what's important. And one really gorgeous thing that I've been told that I've always tried to bring in is literally count your blessings, and at the end of each day think of, say, 7 things that are just wonderful. It's very much about not being egotistical and not being I-centered or I-focused, but at the same time don't be afraid of thinking about yourself. And okay, it is about letting go of the self-conscious, but it is important to, I guess, address what is going on in your mind and then let it go. And in things like yoga, it is about just giving yourself this time and letting yourself be nice to yourself.
Due to an increasingly fast-paced society, eating on the go has become a pervasive part of the modern lifestyle. The physical effects of a poor diet, such as heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, are widely known. However, nutrition is not commonly associated with mental health issues. Research has shown that a poor diet, relying excessively on fast food, can increase both stress and tension and can lead to depression. Dietitian Yvonne Chambers will now discuss the benefits of a balanced diet in sustaining a healthy mind.
The role of nutrition and a healthy diet in looking after one's mental health is certainly very important. Many people know that a good diet is very important for heart disease or for diabetes or managing your weight, but not many people think immediately of looking after your mental health. So a lot of recent evidence has shown that it can be just as important for your mental health to follow a healthy, balanced diet. It can also help to maintain good mental health, and if you have, we'll say, depression or something like that, to actually help with your recovery as well, but it should sit alongside your other treatments. Some of the key ways that food can affect a person's mood include if your diet is quite inadequate or if you eat very limited foods. This can result in nutrient deficiencies which affect your mood or can affect your brain function. For example, if you have a low iron intake, you can feel very weak or tired. And the way to prevent this is making sure that you eat meat, fish. Avoid drinking tea with meals as well. This can reduce your iron absorption. Also, if you have low B vitamin intakes, for example, thiamine or niacin, this can actually affect your mood, can cause problems, fatigue, you can feel depressed or irritable. And the way to prevent this is eating plenty of meat, whole grain foods, fruit and vegetables, or fortified breakfast cereals. Also, another B vitamin that's important is folate. This can increase your chance, if you have low folate intake, of feeling depressed. So eating plenty of green vegetables, citrus fruits, beans, again, fortified breakfast cereals are a good source. A low selenium intake also can increase your incidence of getting depression or having other negative mood states. So eating plenty of meat, fish, eggs, and Brazil nuts are also a very good source of selenium. Carbohydrate foods as well, like bread, cereals, potatoes, rice, pasta. Your body needs glucose to fuel your muscles and your brain, so not enough glucose can leave you feeling very tired or weak, even fuzzy-minded. There's also a chemical in the brain called serotonin, which can actually increase your mood and help you feel quite happy. And amino acid called tryptophan is very important for this, and this can be found in protein foods, so like meat, fish, eggs, milk, cheese, nuts, seeds, lentils or beans. So making sure that you have a protein food at every meal and a little bit of carbohydrate as well can actually increase the power of the protein. Also, caffeinated drinks like coffee, cola or energy drinks, large quantities of these can increase your blood pressure, can make you feel very anxious. They also have a diuretic effect, which can increase your fluid loss, so can lead to dehydration if you drink too much of them. So limit your caffeinated drinks to 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, and drink plenty of water, herbal teas or fruit juice. So if someone felt that they had a poor diet and wanted to fix that, one of the things they could do is to keep a food diary. This might alert you to the fact that you might have a very erratic eating pattern, or you might have a low intake of certain types of foods. So if you document the kind of foods you eat in the food diary and compare it to the food pyramid, that can be a way to notice. Also making sure that you have regular meals, including breakfast, and this ensures a constant supply of blood glucose, so regular fuel for your body. Eating less refined sugary foods and more whole grain foods like brown whole grain bread, cereals, fruit and vegetables, pulses. Making sure you have protein at every meal, like meat, fish, milk, yogurt, eggs, beans. Eating a wide variety of foods, so following the food pyramid, which makes sure that you get in all the nutrients that you need. Oily fish is also very important, so things like tuna, sardines, mackerel, herring, having at least 2 portions of these in a week. Especially for students as well, watching money can be important. So when you are buying foods, it can seem a lot more expensive to buy healthier foods than unhealthy foods. But to buy things that are in season, like fruit and vegetables, frozen fruit and vegetables are also a very good idea. And when you're cooking, do more than you need. Put it away in little portions and then freeze it, and you can reheat it then as you need it.
Research indicates that alcohol consumption in the Irish population has increased by 17% over the past 11 years. This rise in consumption has led to increases in alcohol-related harm and disease and has caused increased pressure on our health and hospital services. Alcohol-related disorders were the 3rd most common reason for admission to Irish psychiatric hospitals between 1996 and 2005.
Alcohol does play a role in affecting one's mental health. Alcohol actually has a depressant effect on the brain and can result in a rapid worsening of your mood. It also contains a toxin that needs to be deactivated by the liver, and during this process your body uses many nutrients like thiamine or zinc, and if you have an inadequate diet this can deplete your stores of these. So being low in these kind of nutrients can lead to decreased mood, irritability or aggressive behaviour, as well as more serious and long-term mental health issues. For women, what's recommended is 14 standard drinks or less per week, and for men, 21 standard drinks or less per week. And a standard drink is a small glass of wine, a half pint of lager or beer, 1 alcopop or 1 single pub measure of spirits. It's also important to have a few alcohol-free days during the week and to make sure that you're not binge drinking, and a binge drinking session is 6 or more standard drinks. If it is something that you're worried about, you could consult a dietitian. A way to find out a dietitian in your area would be to log on to www.indi.ie. Also, you could look up the Health Promotion website, which is www.healthpromotion.ie.
Self-esteem means appreciating your own worth and importance, which helps you to cope better with the challenges of life. Evidence suggests that self-esteem can lead to better health and social behaviour, and that poor self-esteem is associated with a broad range of mental health difficulties, such as depression, eating disorders, and anxiety. Therefore, a positive sense of self-worth is critical to the improvement of both mental and physical health. Life coach Maureen Melvin gives us her thoughts on how both personal development and having a positive outlook on life can play a role in achieving a healthy, balanced lifestyle.
I'm currently teaching in the GMIT in Galway. I lecture in basically management and management theory. One of the new modules that's been introduced into college is called Learning to Learn, which is helping maybe kids or children that would have done their leave insert to adapt to third level education, because they come in having lists of words and being able to regurgitate them back to you. And it's trying to get people out of that maybe mode of thinking and to get them to think for themselves. I suppose it's around personal development as well, that you're here, you're on a course, it's really to develop yourself. There are four maybe simple steps that I would use. It's around having some kind of goals or setting goals for yourself, and maybe to write them down, what you would want, what do you want in life, what do you want to do short term and long term. Second point would be how you'd go about mastering particular goals you have, working towards them. And it'll be steps. If I want an honours degree, if I look at a college prospectus telling me I have to do 4 years of study, each year is a step. It's like that in personal development or personal growth, that I have a goal, I want something, I look at the steps and I plan them out for myself and how I'm going to master them. And of course, then the next area I think I would talk to people about would be motivation. If you're motivated, you will do a lot. If you're demotivated, it will be very hard to get it done. So it's having a sense of motivation and a pride in yourself. And I suppose that's where we feel good about ourselves comes from, is self-esteem and feeling good about ourselves, and that we can do it. That I can, you know, maybe see myself in 4 years having my degree or having a certificate or having done something different or having lost 3 stone a weight or whatever my goal would be. And point there, then the fourth one would be, you've done this, you should be looking at develop year on year, week on week, maybe day on day, to get what you want in life. Personal development is something, you know, you maybe, some people realize it maybe very early on in life, maybe about the age of 14 or 15. And some of us could be into our 20s, 30s, maybe even 40s or 50s before we kind of realize that we need to do some personal development for ourselves. You know, we're put in this world, I think, to grow ourselves. And it's a journey. So by us having those little goals, and we write them down, maybe it's things like exercising every day. If you can bring them into a daily, weekly thing that you do, it's all the better, because it becomes a routine. It's easier to do them. They say you should try and see through the goal. If it's a bit like second level students would be looking at doing their leave insert exams now, very often what some of them would be doing is just looking at, I need to get, you know, the exam. And the exam is stressful and it's a big issue. You know, if we just look at what we have to do, it's like doing a driving test. That can be very stressful. But if we look beyond it, when you do something, there is a success, there is a feel-good factor about it. And if you can get that feel-good factor, very evident in people, because your heart is excited and your brain is excited at the same time, and you've done it. And if you can sense that, doing the exam or doing the test won't be as difficult, because you know there's a greater goal, and there's a greater goal of satisfaction for yourself. So it's not building up to, it's going beyond the test. Introvert means that you would, you know, you're very much in yourself, so you think a lot about yourself, and you wouldn't maybe be the first one to come forward with information. You think a lot. You know, we're all either one or the other, but it's knowing you're the introvert, that you're very much into yourself. Sometimes when you have to ask for something, you know, or go to some place and you have to, it would be more difficult for an introverted person to ask for it, whereas the extrovert person is more externally maybe focused and can kind of maybe see things and would have no problem going up and saying, can I have this or can I have that, or this is wrong or that is wrong. It's that mix. It's knowing where my strengths are. Great quote that I have is Muhammad Ali, which we all would know him from his boxing. He was very positive about himself. And actually, as he walked out into a ring, or any time, even in his, when he was practicing, he used to say, "I am the greatest, I am the champion." And every time he hit, you know, in his boxing, what he was thinking. It's thinking, it's maybe picking little things like that that you have in your mind that are positive about yourself. And it's setting those goals. If you have achieved and you have done well, that's a sense of satisfaction. And the next time that you're taking the next step, if you do look back, pick something that you have achieved and that you have a sense of good satisfaction about and apply it to the next step. I'm not saying it's easy. It's going back to the Muhammad Ali. He practiced. If you're doing exams, you have to do it. In business, you have to try and anticipate and practice taking on board what's happening in the world. Training, exercise, they don't come without pain. So it's putting in that effort. It may hurt at times, but if you have a goal, you'll see it through. The goal is to get something. You'll get there. We all need to listen to ourselves and to listen to our inner being, that inner self. And we need to give ourselves, you know, attention. Sometimes we can be very hard on ourselves. We attract what we want in life. So, you know, listen to yourself. Listen to what other people maybe are saying. If that's not gelling with what you want, maybe, you know, you attract some other one or attract a course that will give you the skills or give you what you want to do yourself. So that listening is important to yourself. Every one of us are different, so things will mean different things to every one of us. We've got to create our own path. You know, your well-being is yours. You can create that by the positive thoughts or the negative thoughts. Which do you want to do? If it's positive, it's easier. You get on. You'll attract more positive people in your life as well. You know, you're free. This is a life. It's a journey. Make the most of it. You decide what you want. Go for it.
Mind Matters was written and produced by Wired FM. The series was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland through the Sound and Vision Scheme. Wired FM would like to thank all those who participated in the making of this series. And for further information on any of the matters discussed in this episode, please log on to www.wiredfm.ie.